Hey guys, welcome to Game Train. I'm here again with Callan. We're at PAX.
Yes.
And we're doing some podcast on the promenade.
I know, right?
Which has been really awesome.
Podcasting on location.
I know, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of stuff going on back there. People are still full swing.
Yep.
You know, it's a Sunday, you came in, we're all stumbling in, half hungover, and there's just straight up, all the cosplayers are out, everyone's in there talking and line up and playing like nothing happened.
Yep. Twan's filming us through the window, which is hilarious.
A little bit creepy. But you know, it feels kind of cool. Feels a bit like paparazzi. Get him out of here. But PAX has been just amazing. This has been my first PAX experience, and I've had the best experience. It's so cool. I didn't know how I'd do with like 3 days, but there's still so many things I haven't done that I want
to
do.
Yeah. Well, I went to PAX 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was other people, obviously not you. Cool, I had quite a different experience back then. I'm not going to lie, I didn't have that great of a day. I was with someone that just brought the whole mood down. He didn't like anything, didn't want to check anything out, just brung the whole bar down.
Oh, no.
And then, you know, when we said we're going to do 3 days this year, I'm like, okay, you know, that was last time, you know, new experience, new people, 1,000 times better, straight away, you know.
So it's me then.
No, it's Twan.
No, oh wow!
Who again's behind you at the window? Yeah. Anyway, he'll hear this later, so
excellent.
Yeah, he'll like that. But yeah, I feel like doing it with you guys, that we're so enthusiastic about everything and what we're seeing and doing, it's just made the experience so much better. And
cool,
just,
yeah.
You know, just seeing it through, I guess, different eyes now that you and I are doing this podcast. Now we're looking at things a bit differently than we would have, you know, in the past.
On
as
the
well.
Other side. Yeah, of course.
But yeah, no, it's been so much fun. And what I love about it is like the community aspect of it all.
Oh, yeah, so true.
Like, you know, you're just standing in a line and then you just start talking to the person next to you about the panel you're going to see or a game you've, you know, just checked out in the indie section. It's just great. Like, just everyone is just so friendly and nice.
Yeah, and I love how connected everyone is in PAX, even like between all the companies and the game developers. You know, like they say, you come to check out one game, like we're talking to the indies, which has just been the most amazing experience. But you look at one of these games and they're brilliant, and they're right next to someone. They go, oh, you should definitely go check out so-and-so's game. If you like this kind of thing, have a chat to him or her and, you know, you'll love it. And then you go talk to them and go, oh, I was just talking to the guys over at the, you know, PC or over at Ubisoft there, and we had a great chat. Everything's like connected. It's not, there's so much less competitiveness in a place like this, which is weird because it's full of gamers and
yes,
we're competitive by nature, but as companies and people, there's so much like warmth in there, and
yes,
I love that. It's so obvious straight away.
And I guess it all comes down to everyone's got like the one common interest,
of course. Yeah, there's,
you know,
10,000 game
culture,
lovers in there.
You know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's have a talk about some of the indies we saw, because that's a big part of PAX.
Yes. Oh, so true.
So Projection was the one I wanted to check out because I saw that trailer several months ago and I heard it was going to be here. I'm like, yeah, I've got to go check this out.
Yep.
And wow, I wasn't disappointed. Like it's a 2D puzzle platformer,
mm-hmm,
and you manipulate the environment using light because you are you're a puppet, like a marionette.
Yeah. That was so
like,
cool.
Like a theater puppet.
Theater shadow puppet, and you manipulate the light and the character.
Yeah.
And by making the different shadows in different areas, you create like hard surfaces she can jump onto.
Yeah.
The art is so beautiful. I love that she has the little stick underneath.
Yeah, the
controlling
stick
her the whole time. Oh. Very like, and even the little butterflies flying past you in the background, they all have like tiny little sticks in there as well.
And it's got that old sort of filmic grain look to it as well. And the sepia tone throughout the game as well.
Yeah, like that limbo vibe. And I loved, like visually it was gorgeous and that's what pulled us in. But then as soon as we started talking to the developers and finding out that the whole game is this little girl sort of learning to grow up and learning like life lessons, but then how it's they've taken all these multicultural legends and sort of melded them all together to make this beautiful life teaching story. I'm like, where did that come from? Now I'm like doubly sold.
Yes. Yep.
And how they were talking about how multicultural that development team was.
Yes.
So, it was coming to Switch. I love that. You know, that was cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
it felt like it was like high five all around it.
Yeah,
stage.
It was
like,
just win. So, and I guess that's the thing about PAX where like you go in and go like, oh, that looks cool. But then you talk to them and you get to like meet the creators and you have this whole new connection to the game and the art itself. So I'm so excited in 6 months when I'm playing it to be like, I met the guys behind this. And there's this weird personal insight.
Yes.
And it's going to just change how I it's just been awesome. So many of those kind of experiences.
You're enjoying Necro Barista?
Yeah. Based in Melbourne.
Yes.
In this like post-apocalyptic death cafe.
it was like... between life and death.
Like a limbo kind of...
Limbo. The word escapes.
Purgatory or something?
Yes, purgatory, yeah. But in a
cafe.
In a cafe in Melbourne.
And you've got to gamble for time.
Yes.
To stay there. And then if you lose all your time, you become officially dead. And no one knows what that really means. But these people are like...
They want to stay in the purgatory.
Yeah, which is just all in a cafe. And the art is beautiful. It's kind of like a story... how would you even describe that kind of game? Very story-driven, like sort of scenes are playing out in front of you. Every time you click, it's sort of the camera moves, there's these really cool angles. And
it's like an interactive storybook, maybe?
Yeah.
Would that be a way of
and then you
describing
can
it?
Pause the scene anytime you want and kind of walk around in this sort of first-person mode and click on things to learn about what's happening in the background. Then you can get back to the game and let the characters do their thing. That was awesome. And Spearbound.
Oh yeah, of course, Spearbound.
I love that. That was just so pretty, like really big sprites. For, again, as with most of these, it's the art that pulls you in to start having a look, and then everything changes. Like to me, it was just this really beautiful 16-bit, side scroller. But like the sprites were really tall, so there was like all this beautiful detail. And then when we started speaking to the developers, we find out that their concept of it was to try and make this a human anatomy correct game where every time the girl jumps, she can only jump as high as she's supposed to as a human, which is not high enough for us as gamers. We expect you to jump so high because of bloody Mario teaching us that you're supposed to be able to jump 5 times your height.
Yep.
So he said, like, we can make her jump gamer height, but she needs to use the spear to get there.
Like a pole vaulter and things
exactly.
like that.
And then she uses the spear on the floor to make her run faster. And when she double jumps, she doesn't just magically jump again. She lifts her legs up to get a bit more air under. And it's just so cool and creative in that way. Like, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. What else did we do?
We checked out Hand of Fate 2 quickly as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, so that's like that, I guess it was like a action RPG with like card-building elements in it as well, which all looks really cool as well. But then from there, we've also checked out the, I guess, you can look at PAX almost split into two halves in the expo hall. You got your main expo hall where you've got all your massive displays and all that, and then you've got the other half, which is your tabletop area.
Yeah.
That's a whole other experience through there itself.
Yep. And cards and all that kind of stuff. I've never really delved into that world before.
Yeah.
And it was just so interesting learning about all that.
Well, I sat down and played Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, yeah.
Well, got taught how to play it. I'll tell you what, you take games like Hearthstone for granted where you can just, you know, it's all automated for you, like you can just
slide it up and then do a maths spoiler.
Yep, and all that, like you're sitting there and you're like, right, okay, and you're juggling numbers and you're trying to work things out while learning the game. It takes some getting used to, but it's still fun. It's like such a different way of doing things, you know.
Yeah, I can understand how that would make you like dive in so much deeper, because you're like, right, I need to really concentrate, and by the time you've learned it, you've just become obsessed and connected.
But then it's like it's so much fun just having the physical object and placing it down on the table rather than just, you know, dragging a card up onto the other side of the table or whatever, you know. It's just,
and appreciating each as a separate piece of beautiful artwork too, like,
oh yeah. Oh, speaking of art, oh wow, there's been some good,
oh yeah, these artists on the side here that have been just painting different things on the first day. On the Friday, they got all these brilliant game artists. How do I describe them? Like, they paint and they draw and they do things on like easels, and you know, they're creating this piece of art all day, and then they add it to their collection.
And then they auction it off as well.
For charity.
Yes.
Which is really cool. And on the first day, it was really interesting. They had this row of like, is it five artists, five or six?
Yep.
And they each start this painting, and it has to be of a theme of a certain game. Let's say like Horizon Zero Dawn or Mario Odyssey. And they'd paint it for, you know, an hour or so. And then they took that piece of art and handed it down like musical chairs. Yeah. And the next artist worked on the last artist's painting or creation or drawing and continued it on. And they did that all day until they had an end product. I just thought, what a clever idea.
Yeah.
We were speaking to them, to Kat.
Yes.
Who was doing the, there'll be a bit of footage and video content on what we spoke to her about and stuff. But she was saying that they all had a chat about saying, oh, that's going to be fun. We've known each other for years. This is going to be a good laugh. And as soon as the first round went and everyone swapped and they had someone else's painting in front of them, none of the artists wanted to touch someone else's art.
You know? Yeah.
I love
but,
that.
But in saying that, like, because you're a musical artist, could you imagine doing that almost like a song? Like, you all record a bit of song? Like, that would be weird, wouldn't it? Like, something you're so used to doing. And then you get someone else's art and, you know, song, and then you've got to add something in, like...
Yeah, yep. If I had, like, a bunch of chords and sang some lyrics and then sent it away and someone else has to add in without me knowing...
Yeah.
Like, okay, you put in some guitar and piano and, all right, you put in some trumpet and it comes back. I'm like, what, this is metal now?
Or
like, reggae? How did you do that?
Well, with editing, what I do for work, I can't pick up other people's edits. I hate doing that. I can't handle that. But sorry, we're going a bit off topic there. But
no, that's
good. Yeah, it's like one of those things where they're just passing this painting around. Like,
It was it's such a different level of creativity, and it's these kind of things, and like it's just what makes PAX so different as an expo. I think like it's not just games.
Yes.
Like I spent about 2 hours painting a gorilla on the first day.
Yeah,
I believe it. And it was awesome. Everyone was silent, but I didn't know what I got into. I thought, oh, that looks fun. Hey, guys, I'm just going to do this for about 10, 15 minutes. You know, film me doing this. This would be an interesting, you know, let's have a laugh. And I sat down, and there's all these, like, brilliant painters all sitting down painting these miniatures. I picked a big gorilla because I thought more space because I'm not very intricate with my hands. It was a dumb move. And it just took so long. After the first, like, 20 minutes, Tuan was behind us filming. I'm like, maybe go for a walk and come back and see how I go. And he did that and he came back and I was still halfway through step one. And that was, it had been easily an hour. And then he'd come back and left maybe two or three times. And he said like, okay, so you're nearly done then. And there was this whole sheet with the four steps in front of me. They said, paint miniatures in four easy steps. And he's like, cool, so how far are you? I'm like, I'm nearly done step one still. I'm still step one. So what I had to do in the end after an hour and a half is I just finished step one and kind of just sheepishly walked away and went, I have to stop there. So I'll show you guys some pictures on our Facebook at www.facebook.com/gametrainpodcast. You can see my gorilla. Please don't laugh. It was only step one. I've never done it before, but I had so much fun. I just
didn't have the patience to sit there and do that. As you said, I'm just terrible, like trying to paint intricate little things. Like, I would have just been like, you know, just throw it a brush over and go, oh, I'm done, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have the patience. I didn't think it was an hour and a half, commitment. But once I was in it, I'm like, well, here we are. Andy, we've gone to some amazing panels too.
Oh, the panels, of course.
You know, like, and I've never actually gone to any. I've seen like a bajillion on YouTube and watched all those kind of things. But going to them and you know, like listening to these people right in front of you talk to the first one we went to, so you want to be a games journalist?
Yes.
Just brilliant. So insightful. It inspired Tuan to go buy a new mic.
Yeah, after our mic fail on day one.
Yeah, day one, minute
boom,
one.
Boom.
So, but, no, I think, and you guys will see it in our video content too. We have this new wireless mic that looks like a troll.
Yeah.
Like, huge sort of hair.
Yeah, it's where the, I guess, fluffy dog normally goes on it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's a character in itself. And well, just I went to a cosplay panel, the League of Legends cosplay panel, and that was so insightful. It was so cool because we all have been just huge fans of cosplay and the art they've done and created for years. And it's next level out there.
It like, you know, I'm looking at these people, I'm like, wow, I'd love to do something like that, but I'd have like a cardboard box on my head and be like, I can't do this.
Exactly.
You know, and just the amount of effort it goes into, like, I saw one of from World of Warcraft, Maeve's Shadow Song, and oh, the effort that was yes. put into this, you know, it was, oh, it was amazing. I was just, straight away I went, Carl, we have to go talk to them right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just the costumes, the hair, the props, like there's some of these props are just like, you just put your hand in the screen and pull that out.
Yeah.
Straight out the game, like clearly.
And then the Justice League.
Oh, yeah. That was brilliant, watching the Justice League do Just Dance, Ubisoft Just Dance. And
yep.
We got a video of that. We'll also put it up on our YouTube and our Facebook. It was just, it was hilarious. They did this whole dance, Batman, which was Melbourne City Batman.
Yes. Well, yeah, I spoke to him too. He's hilarious.
Brilliant, brilliant character. He was so in character, even dancing, if that's possible. Batman stayed Batman dancing, and he owned that, which yep. is a big thing to say, because he was standing right next to that Wonder Woman.
Who, like, nailed Wonder Woman, like, well. Yeah.
I was pretty sure it was her just for a minute.
Yeah.
I thought, she's pretending. She's come to PAX, you know, just the real actress.
Yeah.
Dressed in her official clothing, like yep. costume. And she's just pretending that she's a cosplayer. And you know, I had to like triple take and went, no, that's just a cosplayer. Okay, cool.
What I'm also enjoying seeing is that, okay, the fantastic looking cosplays like that. But then the thinking outside the box cosplays, which might not look visually are stunning, but their ideas are fantastic.
Yes.
Like this morning we saw four or five people come in with like cardboard go-karts around them from Mario Kart, dressed as the characters. But then to top it off, they all had helium balloons with the different colors on, like in balloon battle mode.
Yep. And like, and they're floating high above them, so everywhere they went, even when they're like, you know, 500 meters away, you could just go like, oh, there's those guys.
Yeah.
So and they're just going to be the star of the day.
It looks so great. It was like, wow, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah. What was that other one we saw that was thinking outside the box? I can't even put my finger on it. So similar to that, just a, oh man.
Oh, there's been so many, like, there's hundreds of them. Like,
well, and we've tried to capture as many as we can. Again, we'll shove that all in the video content that we'll be releasing.
Yeah, that's right, which we've been doing quite a bit of this time.
Yes, so much great info.
Yes.
A lot of good insights. There's one about that, like that ultimate gaming table. We won't say much now because we have there's a lot in that video if you want to watch, but
yeah,
you know, basically like a tabletop table.
Yeah.
And then you just put stuff on top of it and turn it into a normal dining table, have your dinner, and then you can remove it all and there's your game and there's cup holders and it's awesome.
Yes, that's great. All that sort of stuff as well. Like, oh, also another little thing we checked out yesterday, which wasn't really a panel, but it was more of a competition on stage between different podcasters from the Australasian podcast gaming network.
Yeah.
Yes. So a bunch of them were on from different podcasts, were all up on stage. Little video game tournament.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And Joel.
Yes, Joel, who's
organized all this.
Yes, yes. So big props to Joel for all that.
And watching him play Nidhogg 2.
Nidhogg 2.
That was...
I'd never seen that game before.
Me neither. And we were like screaming like in a sports stadium.
How do you explain this game, if you're trying to explain it to someone? It's like a one-on-one fighting game.
With side-scrolling.
Like side-scrolling fighting game across several screens.
Yeah.
And you're these... not clay guys, but like little people.
Yeah.
And you've got swords or daggers or bows. You just get random weapons. And it's pretty much one hit kills the other player. But then you've got to get to the end of the stage. So you've got to run.
Either left or right. Yeah, kind of like a sport.
Yeah. And you've got to pretty much get to the end line pretty much. And it's just this back and forth. So the other person respawns very quick. And if they kill you, they get the chance to start running. And then it's like this to and fro, back and forth.
Yeah, for like 8 or 9 screens or something, you know, and just trying to get to the end. And sometimes you get to the final screen,
yes.
And then they'd kill them and run all the way back the other side and
yep.
so on. And it was just, people were screaming like, jump, just run.
Yep.
No, just kill him.
And the cheers when someone died, and you think they're going to win, but then the other person come back and it'd be a gasp.
Yeah, it was very fun. It's been an amazing expo, and there's still more to see. I'm so excited to do all that, but...
Well, that's right. Well, we're going to go check out Sea of Thieves today, which will be yes. amazing. They've got a great setup on a boat here.
Sea of Thieves on a boat, man.
Like what great marketing is that? Like,
that's PAX, man. PAX is just brilliant.
This yes.
is, We should wrap this up, though.
Yeah.
Instead of taking all this beautiful opportunity all day, which I'm keen to.
Exactly. Well, I guess we go to that time of the episode, which is...
Hype Train and Lame Train.
And Lame Train. All right. We'll go with the Lame Train first.
Okay. I think we have the same or very similar Lame Trains.
I think we do. Would you like to start? Would you like me to start?
I'll jump right in there.
Okay.
And it's hard to put it... We got to put it bluntly, and it's the volume and the amount of hype guys in there, especially around that, you know.
There's a bit in the main expo area where there's about four or five, I guess, displays where people are on like loud microphones trying to hype people up.
Yeah.
But then the displays are almost competing against each other, so it's just getting louder and louder. Yeah. And louder, and it pretty much just becomes noise.
Yeah, and and we're trying to talk to even like developers about their games, and you literally can't hear someone like 2 feet in front of you. I mean, it's all part of the excitement, but it just gets so overwhelming. So it's so cool that they have that other half of the expo where it's just this whole different level.
Yep.
It's just like chill.
Yeah,
there's space, breathing room.
I feel like they just don't need to go overboard like that. I personally, that's just a personal view.
Yeah.
On that, and I think that's our Lame Train this week, just how overwhelming it got in that space that I'd like to check out some of that stuff, but I'm like, I can't be in here. Like, my ears are going to pop.
Yeah, or just having those two sort of competing hype people near each other, if they were on separate ends, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think we're both kind of in agreement with that, but how about your Hype Train?
Hype Train.
Boom. My Hype Train, I think it comes back to the experience as a whole I've had this time, like how much better PAX has been for me this time than it was last time.
Yeah, okay,
And that, I think that's what's made me most excited about this whole experience, just how much more enjoyment, almost like a polar opposite of how I felt walking out last time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're exhausted, we've done 3 days here, but if it was 5 days, I'd be coming back here tomorrow morning and the day after that, you know?
Yeah.
While last time when I left here, I was like, which was only one day, I was like, you know, that was a bit, wasn't that great for me. But yeah, this year, I'll be leaving the expo going, yes, that was awesome. PAX as a whole, great. That's my Hype Train, PAX itself. And I'm hyped already for next year's PAX.
Yeah, nice. We're making plans. We're talking about costumes. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm already keen. This has been my first one. And it's just been such a positive and brilliant experience for me from like the start to like not even finish yet.
And I think that's a key word there, positive. Everywhere we've been, it's been positive. There's been no, I guess, negative feeling towards anything. People bringing each other down, or it's just been such a great vibe throughout the whole expo.
And just everyone opens up and willing to talk when you run up to them and ask them, you know, for a chat. I guess to wrap it up, my Hype Train would be, like I was saying earlier, is delving deep with those indie developers.
Yes.
Just what an experience. I mean, I've always been such a fan of these, like, sort of smaller projects, and there's so much more personal because most of these games are made by like a handful of people, sometimes one or two or three.
Yeah.
And so these games represent the developer in a way that AAA games just can't. Like beautiful games like Assassin's Creed, that's not like one person's message.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas you're playing games like Spearbound and Projection, and that's from the heart of and you can really feel it. And then when you talk to them, it's just kind of like taking that home and making it even more obvious. You're like, wow, I really get where you're coming from and how that translates. I can't wait to kind of jump into your mind.
And that's their art.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, if I hear one more person say that there's even a debate of whether gaming is art, I'm so done with that talk. This is about as artistic as it gets.
Yes.
This is the Renaissance right now, mother. You know what I'm saying? All right. So I guess that's us for this one.
Yeah, that's our PAX wrap.
Yeah, we're going to do another episode. We're going to do a double feature, actually, on Super Mario Odyssey and Assassin's Creed Origins as our feature games.
Yes, this week, yes.
Because we needed a bit of time to jump in those games. They're overwhelmingly big.
Yes, so it's going to be probably a longer episode than normal to cover everything that we want to talk through on those games.
And a bit more on PAX.
We'll have a bit more on PAX, and plus, you know, all of our normal segments, our news, backtrack, and of course Hype and Lame Train.
Yeah, and look out for the video content. There's going to be a lot this time, and it's going to be cool. There's some really fun stuff in there.
There is a lot going on there.
Even just the dancing. Yep. You know, watch it for the dancing Justice League. But Again, jump on our Facebook, www.facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast. And from there, you can find everything else. Our Twitter is just at GameTrainPodcast.
No, it's at GameTrainTalk.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yep, that's what I'm here
for. You're thinking of our Instagram.
Yep, and that was our Instagram. I'm just excited. I want to get back out there. So thank you so much, guys. And a big love to Joel for getting us in here and doing this thing.
Thank you. This has been Game Train.
Cheers.